Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Please be seated. Well, after telling us that we are to love one another, the Apostle John gives us a very important explanation for why love must flow from us to others. Verse 7 says, For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And so this infographic illustrates the gospel truth that's being taught here. Love originates with God, and he gives it to you, and so that you are filled with God's love, and because you're filled with God's love, you can then give that love to others. And this is a healthy relationship that's been established through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because God has graciously given his love to you, you feel accepted by God. You feel secure in God. You have assurance in God. You experience satisfaction with God. And for these reasons, you can love others just as God has loved you. Freely you have received, freely you give. This is where we want to be. This relationship that's illustrated right here, brothers and sisters. We always want to be looking to God for his love, for his grace, for his affirmation, for his equipping of you to do the work that he has called you to do, which includes giving love to other people. But unfortunately, sometimes we don't value the love of God the way we should. And sometimes we find ourselves looking to other people for love, for acceptance, for affirmation, for security. It's not that we reject God. It's not as if we don't think that he's really there. It's just that for whatever reason, our sense of significance is derived more from what other people think of us than what God thinks of us. And so we long for the approval of other people. We long for their love. We long for their acceptance. We long their affirmation, their approval. And this leads to a constant needing for our spouse or our children or our boss or our friends to always be building us up so that we can feel loved. Yet that's only going to end in frustration. That's only going to end in feelings of betrayal. Because the people were looking to fill us with love, even though they may be very loyal and faithful people, cannot fill us with what only God is able to give to us. We've been designed to find our satisfaction in God. As Augustine famously wrote in his Confessions, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in you." The sinfully needy person will always remain restless because he or she is trying to find rest in other people. So when this pursuit proves inadequate, as it always will, many people will take it to the next level, which is manipulation. They'll do helpful things for other people, but only to get something in return. I'll buy you lunch, but what I want in return is for you to listen to my opinions and then tell me how smart I am. I'll make a cake for your birthday, But what I want in return is your affirmation that I am such a thoughtful person and a good baker to boot. I'll help you repair the fence in your backyard, but what I want in return is the acknowledgement that you could not have done it without me. I'll offer an apology for something that I know I really don't need to ask forgiveness for, because what I really want is for you to say, oh, don't be silly. You, what you did is perfectly fine. In fact, you did an excellent job. You should be proud of yourself. Brothers and sisters, understand that this kind of manipulation is nothing more than a desperate attempt to compel other people to feed into your sinful neediness. It's hoping that others will give you their love, their affirmation, their approval, so that you can feel accepted, you can feel secure, at least for the moment. And when that acceptance and security fades away, as it will always do, you'll engage in even more manipulation in order to get another fix. Brothers and sisters, understand that if you're looking to others for your significance, or if you're doing helpful things to others with the expectation that they'll give something back to you in return, this is an indication that you are not abiding exclusively in the love of God. You're not finding your significance in the fact that God has accepted you, that God approves you, that God has received you unto himself, and he has done so according to the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. That's where we're supposed to be. And what the gospel teaches us is that genuine love, genuine affirmation, genuine approval, genuine security, genuine peace, genuine contentment only come from God. And when you abide in him, God's love abides in you. And when his love abides in you, you will genuinely love others without any expectation that they'll love you in return, because you've already received from God everything you need to know to be loved, everything you need to be accepted, everything you need to be secure. And so where the Holy Spirit has borne witness to you of your sin, the sin of sinful neediness, the sin of manipulation, or any other sin that the Spirit may have laid upon your heart this morning, understand that God pardons and forgives all who truly repent while trusting in the work of Jesus Christ. And so, because repentance includes confession, we confess our sins to the Lord. We confess during the week, we confess at home, we confess privately, and we confess corporately here as a body of Christ as well. And so let's begin with a time of confession, and let's start with silent confession. We'll have for an appropriate time, a period of silence in which you're able to confess to the Lord whatever sins you need to confess. And then after that appropriate time of silence, I'll lead us in corporate confession as well. Let's pray.